Hi there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome to this episode of the podcast, which is the first in a few episodes that are coming up that are going to talk about things in your business that you could potentially do over the summer to help you make more money, get inspiration, or just try that perhaps you haven't had a chance to do throughout the rest of the year. I'm actually running something called the Supercharged Summer School inside my membership, so that members that want to access some kind of extra coaching and extra focus can come and work on like building a campaign over the summer. This is not the first year I've run it. I've done it a few times now, because I really believe that there are a lot of like people out there who don't want to shut down for the summer, that want to use the time to get something done. And one of the things that you could potentially get done over the summer is create that online course, right? That's been in the back of your brain for a while. You've always kind of pushed it down the priority list because there's always other stuff to do. But why not get that idea nailed this summer and maybe start creating the content or get it ready to roll out a little bit later on this year? So in order to help you start thinking about this, I have brought in an expert, Rochelle Dallas from Course You Can. Rochelle's brilliant, by the way, and totally knowledgeable about the process that business owners have to go through in order to decide upon an idea to create an online course, even before you've created one. She's been an online business owner since 2008. And she's been all around the block in terms of the online business world, working as a virtual assistant, being a creative and e-commerce specialist. And recently she's certified as an NLP master practitioner and decided to niche down and specifically help business owners get up and running with the course that they didn't know they wanted until they speak to Rochelle. She is just so much fun, got so much passion for her community and helping business owners do really well. And an interesting fact about Rochelle apparently is that she likes watching Love Actually every single day. I never got a chance to ask her more info about that, but I know this is a fact she's told me about in the past. Let's head into the episode, right? There's lots of fun. If you are a service-based business selling your expertise, either in kind of hourly chunks or kind of like a done-for-you service, you're going to 100% benefit from this. But if you are a product-owning business and you think, wow, this is all very well, but I can't create an online course, hang on, have a listen, because you might find that there's some surprises in this episode for you as well. All right, I will see you at the end. I'll come back and say hi. But for now, enjoy. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. So, Rochelle, thanks for joining us on Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. I know you very well, and I would have given you an amazing intro in the beginning of this episode, but would you mind telling everyone who you are, what you do, and what's brought you to this moment in time right now? What's your backstory?
Okay, so I'm Rochelle Dallas. I'm a course creation mentor and business transformation expert. So I am very heavily involved in course creation and making businesses really smart and operating really efficiently. And obviously courses and group programs and things like that are a great way to scale your business. So that's what I do. My background is mainly operational, actually. So working in ops teams of e-commerce, of finance, and fixing reoccurring problems that came up time and time again, making sure that things were operating as efficiently as possible. And then got into running an online business when I was made redundant in 2016. And it's just gone from there, really. Just different experiences and, you know, lessons and programs and all sorts of like things that I've learned running an online business. And it's really very much felt like all roads lead to course creation for me. So the operations, the branding, the teaching, the NLP, like everything has led down to this route of, you know, it's just a massive culmination of all my experience.
So that's really interesting. I love a course, and I've taken a few in the past as well, right? And I know you have as well. How many online courses or memberships or mentorships do you think you have signed up for in the past? Just to give you some reassurance, I used to have an old mentor called Jenna Sword, who is like really awesome. She's based over in the States, and she would claim she'd spent over $100,000 on courses. She was like, I do them so you don't have to.
Yeah, and it's and that's really interesting way of looking at it, because I'll always look at something that doesn't work. I literally just wrote a podcast about this, is that I'll look at something that doesn't work as well and think of ways that I can make it better. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you get into what you do? And I was like, well, I'd done so many courses and programs that were like not great, that I wanted to teach people how to make great courses, you know, ones that people finish, ones that people are engaged and actually get that outcome at the end. You know, it's not enough to just be great at marketing and having a fantastic sales page. That gets them, but keep them, get them getting that outcome. And that's what I'm really passionate about. So I would say, I wouldn't say it's $100,000, but I'd say it's probably nearer half that on investment. Wow. Piece. Yeah, investment. And in the last 5 years of everything from between one-to-one coaches, self-study programs, online courses, groups, mentorships or memberships, events, that's another big one. And they've been varying degrees of impact, really. Some have just been like, this is shocking, and I just know I'm not going to finish this, because it's been, so one of the things that stops me from completing a course is if it's very audio heavy. So for me, I need things to be visual and I need things to be experiential. So set of slides and a workbook, and I am literally your class A student. Is it class Brilliant. A? No. Great day.
Well, you know, class A is a different thing, isn't it? But still high quality, apparently.
Great day student, I'll do that. But when I did my NLP training, it was probably 80% audio. And because I had to, it was more of a certification at the end, and that forced me through. It was hard slog to just listen to audio. So that will be the thing that sort of tells me off of a course. But everybody's different, and that's, you know, one of the things I teach, but having that mixture. But I would say they've all served an initial purpose, and even if the end result has been a lesson in how I can improve and what I could bring to my audience, even if it's that, then it's the money well spent in my eyes.
So I think for me, I've probably invested about 20,000 something. Probably in like online learning courses, research, events, coaching, all of that in the past like 3 or 4 years. And I think for me, right, the reason why I was totally into the concept of online learning was because for the very first time since probably university for me, there was a raft of information about how to progress in a business, how to progress in a career without you having, you know, to go to a building and sign up for, you know, a $2,000 thing. Like, you could buy an online class to teach you about a new bit of software, or to teach you about a new concept, or even to teach you how to make bread. I know a lady, Rhiannon from the Epsom Bakehouse, who teaches that, right? But, you know, all of these extra bits of skill that perhaps you would have had to have read out of a book or a magazine in the past, you could have someone teach you in a way that you know, like you were saying, that you could take in, whether it's auditory, whether it's visual, whether it's kind of in your head or whatever. And I think that's what got me excited, right? When I first kind of started learning and investing in myself when I had a small business, was that I could get back into the joy of like learning again.
Yeah.
I think the market's reflecting that, right? Because this crazy status, like $500 billion is going to be the annual revenue for online learning by the end of the 2020s.
Yeah.
And I think that's because of this democratization of like learning, right? And you can learn from some of the best people in the world at a fraction of the price without having to fly to that place in the world or badger them to hang out with them in person. Like, you've got like directors like David Lynch doing online courses with his like masterclass series and stuff like that. It's no wonder that it's so attractive right now, right?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And say 10 years ago, 8 years ago, when I decided that I wanted to learn web development, the only way that I could do that was by going into the local college. It had to be night school because I had a full-time job and I was a single mom, and I had to, you know, do all of that and learn how to do that in the classroom. But I think that was a mindset thing as well. Leading up to that, I'd only ever learned and taken on a lesson in a classroom environment. So therefore, my brain automatically reverted back to that and be like, okay, so I want to learn something. Right, I need to be in the classroom. I need to do that. And I think that the way we've come on these leaps and bounds in the last four years since I did my first online course, has been, you know, it's been like astronomical because, okay, the global pandemic thrown in forced us online, but I think that people were going that way anyway. The fact that there is so much more flexibility and access, it's accessibility that is the complete mind-blowing thing for me, because I look at an online course as being a mid-step, okay? So you've got your freebies, you've got your podcasts, you've got your YouTube channels, and you've got this way of, you know, garnering an audience and helping them in that way. But you wouldn't decorate a whole house with tester pots from B&Q, right? Sometimes you need a bigger pot. You need to upgrade. And whilst you might not be able to afford like an interior designer and work with someone one-to-one, you need this bigger pot in your value ladder, because it just makes perfect sense. So not everybody's ready for the one-to-one or the done for you. So I always say this is a step. So the space, the time, the energy, and the payment in order to progress up through the ladder. And if you've just got like this freebie or low entry, low price point product, and then nothing in between the one-to-one, you're not serving this whole demographic of your audience that might be ready for the next bit, but not quite one-to-one. And then I think, and then this might blows my mind, is that this ripple effect of everybody that's going to benefit from being able to get access to you in a scalable format that might not be your one-to-one time, but it's your knowledge, right? It's still you. It's still your secret sauce, if you like. And then all the businesses, all the families, the, you know, friends, everyone that's going to benefit from being able to progress in that way. And then it just continues and continues, and then they create good courses that then benefits more people. It's a movement, Vicky.
so you were just talking there about like why business owners should create a course, right? In the kind of middle of that, and that's quite an interesting point, because you're saying here, right, that if you're a service-based business, you offer like a done for you service, perhaps you create websites for people like I do, right? Or, you know, you paint someone's house, or you do copywriting. Down from that service, you could create something that is online and accessible and gives access to your knowledge as a revenue stream, essentially, right? And I mean, it just seems like so attractive. And I see a lot of business owners wanting to kind of get into that. But conversely, right, a lot of business owners come to me and say, and I'm sure they do to you, right, and say, I can't create an online course because of what I sell, right? I can't because of what I do for a bit, like for a business. What would you say to those people?
Right. So Firstly, I'm yet to come across a business, serviced or product based, that can't benefit from an online course in their business. Like, I've just not yet. I mean, feel free to challenge me on it, but it's not something I've ever come across. Now, a big light bulb moment for me on this was when I was, there was something wrong with my boiler, couldn't work it out what it was, went straight to YouTube. And luckily, a plumber had recorded a series of videos that probably got re-recorded and should now sit behind a paywall for certain, because the value was incredible. Like, I don't know, he wasn't near me. His demographic, you know, he didn't have to be in North London to help me, but his, by recording it, uploading it and making it, you know, putting it in that sort of scalable format that 1,000 people could watch it, or 5,000, they are going, you know, people are going to benefit from it. And the second thing is that even if it's not immediately obvious where an online course could sit in your value ladder, that's not to say that it couldn't sit in your business. Okay. So if you're finding, you know, that training or delegating is a struggle for you, it doesn't always mean that scaling in terms of sales, scaling in terms of robust processes behind the scenes is, you know, equally impactful in your, inside your business. Because if you've got a slicker, quicker process and everybody knows what they're doing and everybody, you know, does what they, you know, they're clear on what they need to do because you've recorded the onboarding process and you've automated certain things. There's clever ways that online resources can work for a business within. It doesn't always have to be a course that you then sell to scale the audience, if that, for the client base. Does that make sense?
Totally get that. No, 100% makes sense, right? I mean... I just see this in my membership, right? The Supercharger website membership. We've got Rhiannon Ralph, as I mentioned earlier. She's the Epsom Bakehouse lady, and she teaches how to make bread. And it's wildly successful. We've got Paul Couchman, who is doing an online course in Regency cooking and how to create a Jane Austen picnic, right?
Right. Okay, yeah.
You've got Sonia Pettigrew, who runs a ballet school, and she has bought her ballet lessons online and selling those at scale, or just access to a weekly live lesson that's behind a paywall, right? Who else can I think of? Oh, I've got Emma Last, who's in from Progressive Mind, who sells her coaching, right? Yep. And she condenses that. So, I mean, there's four different walks of life there. I guess Rhiannon and Paul are kind of quite similar in that, you know, they're kind of food related, but it just goes to show that you can take your knowledge, put it online and sell it. It's either a lesson, or it could be access to a weekly call with you, or like all of these things that you were just saying, right? So I totally get that. I love that. What if you're like a product-based business, though, right? You're selling, we've got lots of jewelry makers, we've got lots of soap makers, you know, those type of people. Like,
so how did they learn to become jewelry makers?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're going to say. Right, I mean, you can become skilled enough to reteach that in your own way.
Everything is teachable. Okay, so this is a part of NLP, doing my master practitioner. A part of that certification is about modeling excellence and basically learning about people's different learning styles, but also that everything you do is a strategy. Okay, everything can be broken down into how you do something, like into minute detail that can then be replicated. I'll give you a really good example. Is my project was on our friend Paul Green. And when you think about this, you think, how on earth can this be taught? It was about how to not panic in a panicking situation, how to remain calm in a really panicked situation. And he ran through this mnemonic that all pilots are taught, and it's TDODAR. And you look at, and the initial thing was to look and assess at how much time you've got. Okay. Now I would have been like, I might have gone to, I need to call for help. But it's not having that slowing that process down and looking at your options. That's the second one. But looking at how much time you've got, I was able to then regurgitate that strategy to a room full of people who can now handle a stressful situation, an unexpected stressful situation, a hell of a lot better. And then so obviously it comes down to practice.
So it's essentially about breaking down what you do in your into a process, essentially,
everything.
Into steps. And everything can be broken down into
there's
steps.
There's going to be a difference that makes a difference. You know, there's going to be, even if you take sort of making a cup of tea as an example, is that some people, you know, we talk about this a lot, about everyone's quite controversial, how to make a cup of tea. But there will be better cups of tea out there, and then there'll be less, you know, ones that haven't really followed the same process of having this like ultimate cup of tea, for example. So like, you know, maybe two tea bags, or they've waited for the kettle to boil and they've not reboiled it, and they've let the water settle, like all of these little bits, and then they've put 3.5 millimeters of milk in and a bit of cold, or do you know what I mean? There's just minute stuff that you don't even think about. It's all a process.
Right. As you were just saying that, I thought, I'm going to just quickly look and see if there's a make a cup of tea course. And the in joke between Rochelle and I, by the way, if you're listening to this, is that obviously it's not milk first.
Obviously not.
Who puts milk in first?
Oh,
who does that? No one. Unless you've got a teapot.
Teenagers.
Where it's brewed, maybe. But no, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. But yeah, you've got the UK Tea Academy, who are the only body in the UK to offer a professional tea certification.
There you go.
And in order to do that, they'll need to break it down step by step.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I mean, I've gone through a lesson in my membership before where I've shown people all the different memberships that I can find to do with learning about something. And just like off the top of my head, I know like there's Janet Murray has talked about this on another podcast about like a learn piano playing by ear. Right. I love that. I've found one which is like learn how to dance in 3 weeks, right? You know, that takes you through a step-by-step process if you do dad dancing and things like that. Like, but it's the process that you take someone through.
If you
can break that down, any business can do this, right?
Yeah.
And anyone can do this. You've just got to have confidence in the steps that you're taking people through, essentially.
Yeah. And also it doesn't always have to be the big part of what you do. So I get creatives find it more challenging to teach what their natural ability. I mean, it is breakdownable. It is, but they might not want to. They may not want to actually package that part because it's unique to them and they want to keep that. However, there's going to be teachable elements that they can wrap up in a package and sell on scale, you know? So like a designer, for example, could teach you the basics and then in the advanced on using Canva in your business or Photoshop or, you know, web design. It's not about becoming the designer, but knowing about those certain concepts. Like when I do something on Canva, I know I'm very aware because I was taught recently about little things like spacing and air between objects and all of that I didn't know before. I just knew it looked good or I knew it didn't look good. And it's trying to articulate what that is. So I do believe everything's teachable. The only, you know, there's times when it can be a challenge with product things, but there's nothing stopping you creating a welcome video, enjoy the product. This is how best to get the best out of the product. You know, this is what the next step is. This is what, you know, it's friendly. It enhances the consumer experience by saying, oh, okay, like they emailed me this welcome video and I know exactly how to get the best out of this product that I've bought.
That's a great idea, actually. So, you know, if you... if I do say so myself. So if you sell clothing, for example, you know, here's a mini course on how to wear, what to wear it with. You know,
how to style it.
How to style, right? Mm. If you sell jewellery, same, how to look after your piece, how to, you know, again, accessorize it and dress it with other stuff. If you do make soap, you know, like maybe a little mini course on like learning about the environmental impact of how it's been made, or, you know, like there's ways to break. There's literally ways to break down everything.
A way I like subscription services with product based. I've signed up
love
to
them.
Subscriptions. Like,
oh my God,
really,
I'm so addicted.
Yeah. A really great one is a candle company called Grace and Butler. And yeah. they're like, well, I don't do it anymore because I moved to a house that hasn't got many candle ledges. And it was one a month, 20 quid. And they'd be gifts or they'd be for me. And they would just have a flavour of the month. They would choose it beautifully packaged, like beautiful quality.
That's where you're starting to think, though, about recurring revenue, right? Rather than necessarily like a course.
Yeah.
And taking people through like education or information that's going to benefit them, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's still perhaps an offshoot of that, isn't it?
It's still that mid tier. In my eyes, I see that a membership or a subscription or a group package or an online course, whether it's self-study or with, you know, community, which I'd always go with the community based as well, because you can break down a process as much as possible, but there's always going to be conversation pieces. There's always going to be things that come up that are specific. It's never just a, you know, get on with it kind of situation. There's, you know, it's a process, isn't it?
Yeah. All right. So this is brought up something that I definitely wanted to ask you then. So let's just say you're a small business owner, you're like, I love the sound of this, I'm going to investigate putting a course together. The tech shouldn't get in the way. There's plenty of platforms out there where you can plug and play and get up and running quickly, mm-hmm. right? Like Thinkific or Teachable, right?
Mm-hmm.
You create content, no one views it, right? Or people don't complete the course, and course completion rates are at an all-time low.
Yeah.
I think the uncompletion rate is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why. It depends on the businesses and the individual, right? But like, why do you think we're buying courses and not completing them? Like, and quickly, Rochelle, have you bought a course and not completed it recently?
Have I bought a course and not completed it? Not recently, no.
Have you ever?
I've not got to the last like couple of modules of some things. I've got what I needed from it for that point.
I've bought an entire course and never opened it. Cost me $400. It's shameful. But I just realized I bought it and I didn't need it.
This is it. So I think that there's, right, so two questions there, really. Why are we buying stuff that we don't complete, and why are we buying stuff that we don't need? So personally, I think that the buying stuff that we don't need can be answered quite quickly. And it's I put it down to people getting better at marketing, people getting louder in the online space, social media, you know, all sorts of very, there's ways that you can market your product really, really well. And I think that people get really excited about it and just get caught up in the hype, which is the intention.
During the sales process, right?
Yeah, during the sales and the marketing. It's like a party, right? And it's like, did I actually need that? And it's only when other friends come back to me and they're like, Rochelle, why have you bought that? Like, you're more advanced than that person. I'm like, I don't know. It must have been like the wording they used or something. Like, it can be that. But I mean, I'll always go in and I'll look through it and see how it's run. And by doing that, leads me on to the second part of that question, is that why are people not completing them? So it's my belief, and after all my research and all my experience, is that an online course needs to be clear. Okay, so in my world, that stands for consumable, so bite-sized chunks of information. It needs to be learnable, so actually a quantifiable lesson.
Outcome.
Yeah, an outcome, a tangible outcome. It needs to be engaging. Okay, so whilst there are some bits that might not be as enjoyable, it does need to be engaging. And you do that by having, you know, attractive looking material, high quality recordings, a mixture of visual, audio, you know, reading, experiential. So you need to mix it up for the people that learn differently and take in information differently. It needs to be automated. So people have lost me. They've lost my attention because I didn't know what was next. So when people say, like they click enroll, like you've worked so hard to get that person to that point. And then you click enroll and you're like, well, what next? Like, it's my ethos that you never have somebody think, what next? Your membership is fantastic for this, because you're pushed through a really, really thorough onboarding process and a video. And then there's, you know, you just know exactly what you get. You're surprised because you haven't shouted about all the features in your marketing, you know, and it's like, wow, you get this. Oh my God, right, I'm going to that onboarding call and this, and you know where everything is and when, and you've got clear communication. So that's a fantastic example. And then if those four things are aligned and working well, then it will be referable. So you've got all of those. So that's the final, the R. So you've got all of these four things in play. It's consumable, it's learnable, it's engaging, and it's automated. Everyone knows what's what. Then they'll refer it. And that's where the growth is, because that's where they've got the outcome. They've gone to the end, because I always say the win isn't in the sale. The win is in the shift of the client when they get to the end. And if everything that you do is geared towards that end outcome, you know, knowing what they become at point B, and not just pulling on their pain points within the program and talking about that. We've done that. We've got their attention. They're in now. We're fixing that. If everything that we do throughout their time with us is geared towards gaining that outcome, then I don't think that you can go wrong. I don't think that you can. Like, the worst thing I can think of with an online course is if everybody bought Course You Can and didn't complete it, I'd be devastated. And the thing is that people don't do that. They start it and they get to the end, which is really positive, but also not just from my point of view, it's positive because I'm teaching them how to do that for themselves. So they are replicating my frameworks, which mean that their courses will be focused on the completion rate. And again, going back to this ripple effect, Course You Can is so much more than just course creation. It's a mission. It's a mission to make online learning really, really good, you know, and really powerful, and not a downgrade to one-to-one. It's just meeting you where you're at now, you know. So that's my belief as well. Online courses, group programs should never feel like a downgrade. I've been in big programs before, and working with the person on this pedestal and one-to-one level is like the holy grail of and it's like, no, what should have been enough is the fact that I'm paying thousands and thousands of pounds for what I'm in. That should be enough. I shouldn't feel like I'm still chasing something else.
Yeah, totally, totally. Oh my God, I love this. I wish I knew you when I put my first online course together. I mean, you know, I built it as I went along, right? So I got people in and I ran a beta, and, you know, I'd only had the first module completed. But I think I made things definitely not consumable. Like, I used to do weekly feedback, and someone sent me this, and I'll never forget it, this cutting message, and it was in capital letters, and it was like, no video should be over 10 minutes, and there was about 10 exclamation marks over it. I was like, I thought it was probably about 15 minutes long. I thought that was quite consumable, guys.
Not giving you...
Yeah, I thought I wasn't giving you like 2-hour lessons. But the thing I'm with my first course that I sold, and I can't even remember what it was called now. I can't even remember, but people just didn't get to the end, because I thought I was trying to give so much value, and, you know, they just got overwhelmed and thought, this is probably too clever for me, I'm going to drop out.
It's easily done. That's why. So in Course You Can, a lot of the, you know that Abraham Lincoln saying about, give me an hour and I'll sharpen my axe for like 55 minutes of it or something. What is it? There's basically about prepping is really important. Yeah. But it's so important. Most of Course You Can up till about module 4. I mean, we don't create content. I teach you how to create content, but it's not essential. What's essential is really immersing yourself in the planning and the mapping of that course. It's crucial, and it can save hours, months, heartache, energy, you know, like it the hours spent on planning and mapping And that turned Course You Can itself from a 6-week to an 8-week program, you know, but because I immersed myself in it so much, I was like, actually, there needs to be an implementation week there on the research, because really what you want is a couple of weeks of research focused on it. And actually, you need another module there. So we look at our ideal course taker, because that's going to be different. Everyone does all this ideal client work, but actually ideal course taker would be massively overlooked. And what you're looking at is like, you're like, why aren't these people buying it? And it's like, well, because those people that you're marketing to want you one-to-one, and they'll get there with, you know, the language needs to change. The everything needs to sort of be adjusted. It doesn't have to be a massive shift, but it could just be like a little move of the needle in your, you know, in what you're doing to be able to talk to these people that just maybe like 6 months before where you want them at one-to-one.
I love this, the ideal course taker, because course, right, their motivations their wants are going to be totally different from your ideal client.
They're not always totally different. I mean, they absolutely could be, because what I found was that the people that book me one-to-one, they don't want the group. They don't want to be in a group. They've paid for me just for me. Like, they're welcome to come to the groups, but they don't. No, they never have. And the people that want, you know, those clients of mine that work with me on a one-to-one basis don't want that. But then say they were a year or so earlier in their journey, they're happy to make that. It's not really a compromise, but they're happy to meet on the price to share the experience. However, when you're that early on in your journey, the group and the community is really valuable.
Totally.
It's like, my God, the conversation, the friendships, the networking that happens in Course You Can is brilliant to see. And, you know, and so, yeah, that's that.
I mean, I must say, this has been the part that's made me fall in love with the online learning space, is the network that I've been able to either buy into, or, you know, just join from being in programs and kind of groups. The friendships, for sure. But also sometimes, you know, it's just learning with other people. It's so different to when I was doing my bit, like when I first started doing website builds 20 years ago, and I was online and I used to hang out in forums and try and bother people. And it's 100% totally different now. You know, like, we would all sit on MSN Messenger and chat with each other and stuff like that, but now, like, there's big professional proper communities, you know, that you can run yourself or that you can take part of. And I love that about the online learning world. I really do.
And it's because and they've all got a similar, they've got such a similar experience and mindset, because they've invested in themselves to get through that door to be in the program. And I always find that, I mean, I really cringe at the term like-minded, because I just think it's so overused. But
what
it
about
is.
Tribe? What about tribe, Michelle?
I don't mind tribe more than like-minded. Oh, but anyway, everyone's got those words. But yeah, but it is. They are. They really are. They've stepped up. They're taking this seriously, and they've committed on a higher level by investing money to get through the door into this part of my world or your world, or, you know, and the engagement and the energy I find are different than in my free groups, than in my one-to-one, than in my group mentoring, and in my self-study. The place where they are for themselves. It's very, very different energies, different people, but it's right for them where they are at that time.
If everyone did an online course, would there be anyone left to take them, is the question. Like, how do you sort of respond to people that think, well, it's been done, or someone's already done that? I think people are getting bored of that now. I always love it when I hear that in marketing, when people are like, no one likes it anymore.
It's because, like, no one writes books anymore,
right?
No one reads anymore. No one, like, this I'm telling you, is the future of having people. People have a podcast, people have a book, they have something that gives them, you know, authority in the space. I'm telling you, a course will be that. If it isn't already, I already put it on that sort of podium anyway, but you know, it's a way of people gaining access to knowledge and expertise, you know, that they couldn't ordinarily, like, and I'm not talking just about like celebrity marketers, although that is a fantastic way for that people, a big audience to gain access at different levels. I'm talking about like you as a person, you know, capping your one-to-one reach by only working with people on a one-to-one level, or in person, you're capping it geographically. Like, I think if anything's taught us anything over the last sort of 15 months or however long the pandemic's been around, it's like, it must have opened up more eyes than it's shut eyes, because businesses react, you know, they may have gone online because it's the only option, right? But it's like, now it's time to talk about this a lot. Like, last year was about surviving and getting online and getting their ducks in a row for that to survive, because it was so uncertain. And I feel like this year, next year, year after, is about thriving. Let's really make them good courses. Let's make them great recordings, high quality, you know, professional part of your business that helps you to scale. I mean, I literally think about things like this all the time, about who couldn't an online course work for? And I'm yet to come across one that I'm like, oh yeah, they could do that, or they could do that. And that's where Course You Can came in, because I'm like, people will ask me, do you think I could do this? And I'm like, of course you can. Like, do you know what
I mean? I love the name. Honestly,
that I use.
I love the name. So just tell us a little bit about like Course You Can, and also just a little bit about your podcast as well.
That's coming out soon. So Course You Can is 8 weeks. 8 week program, are taking people from literally from idea to buy here. So they'll have a concept, they'll do some research, they map it out, they plan it out, right through to creating a sales page. So it's about, you know, making sure that is the feedback I get most is a thorough, well thought out program. And that's what really matters, right? It's not just a quick buck. We're not the Chesney Hawks of course creators. We are here. We're not one hit wonders. We are here for the long term, right? We want to bring out a second version, and we want to, you know, an advanced version, and we want people to buy and buy and buy.
We want the Rick Astley of courses, yeah. Right? Not Chesney Hawks.
So they map, they plan, they look at the media that would work well for them. That's a big sticking point. People will, they'll hide behind, oh, I can't get on camera and record these modules. Okay, fine. Get behind some slides and just get something out there. You know, like, I'm always, always problem solving. So there's training on what the best media for you and the content would be. And then there's how to create a high converting sales page. And so that's that. That's the self-study version of that. And there's, the Course You Can community. And then I provide 6 week boosters within that. Once they've got their feet in and they're like, oh, actually I could do with a little bit more help, I'd provide 6 week boosters on a one-to-one level. Yeah,
so, like total inspiration. Like everyone, do go and follow Rochelle online. I'll make sure like links to kind of find out more about Course You Can are in the show notes of this episode. Talking of podcasting, come on, spill the beans. When do you
want to come out? It will be it's in the next 3 weeks. So I went to an event with Anna Park Naples, like podcasting.
Just name dropping there. Rochelle just name dropping.
At the weekend. Well, she wrote a signed message in her book that said, looking forward to your podcast coming out before the 10th of August, which is exactly 1 month from there. So it's out there now. It will be by the 10th of August. It'll be way before that. I'm very near, very close to launching. But
And what's it going to be called?
The Course You Can podcast.
The Course You Can podcast.
Because the thing is that Course You Can is not just about course creation. It's about empowering you to see the possibilities in business and with, you know, scalable business models and all that jazz. And I've got zero filter, so who knows what tangents will be said and enjoyed for all to hear.
I can't wait.
I'm really excited. Like, it's gonna be brilliant. I can't wait.
Good luck. Good luck. And again, I'll put links and things in our show notes. So can't wait to hear how you get on with it, Rochelle.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming to chat with me today. It's been lovely and like really fun. And I hope everyone listening has either been inspired to go and investigate creating a course. Mm. And if so, go and check out Rochelle's stuff. Maybe look at what you're doing at the moment with your own course and kind of give it some love and a zhuzh. All right, we'll see you in the next episode. Bye, everyone. Hi there, it's Vicky popping back in at the end of this episode, as promised. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed recording it with Rochelle. So much fun, and I always learn something every time I talk to her. I bet a flicker of an idea went through your mind as you were listening about an online course that you could create for your audience in your business. If that's the case, do go and check out Rochelle's links in the show notes and go and follow her stuff, because she can help you on that journey, essentially. And good luck if that's what you're planning to do this summer. You might have heard me mentioning right at the top of the episode that I'm doing something called the Supercharged Summer School. So this is a special month of topics that will be running inside my membership, the Supercharged website membership, where we're going to be helping members focus on the idea of getting a campaign created during the summer that they can use to roll out in the autumn and beyond to drive more traffic to their websites. So we're going to be looking at every week in August how to write great copy, how to write great emails, how to create a landing page, and how to run some ads. So just the basics to get you growing an audience or getting people to see your product or your service. And we will be opening up access to join the membership for August. So if you're not on my email list, do go and sign up at heyvickyjakes.com, as all info about when we open up the membership, just for a one-time chance to get access to the summer school content, will be coming out very soon. And we're also doing another really exciting thing as well, where members can sign up to something called Extra Credit, where we're doing a weekly group call to hold everyone accountable to actually getting this stuff done. Now, it's a kind of a paid group call that we're doing throughout the month of August. And that's also open for anyone who's not a member to join as well. So do go and sign up to my email list to find out more about that. I will be dropping more info later this week before August starts, in case you're listening to this in the future. And it would be lovely if you're thinking, you know, maybe you don't want to create an online course like you've been listening to in this episode, but you're thinking you need to get your head down and grow your email list, or get that sales page set up, or plan your Christmas promotion, even, right? The C word, that is happening right now. Then why not come and get some accountability? There are plenty of people doing projects and work over the summer. Summer doesn't just shut down because you've got it doesn't just shut down when you've got a business. There's always things that you could be doing, and why not come and do it with a bunch of us friendly superchargers who can kind of help you get stuff done. If you enjoyed this episode, please go leave us a review over on iTunes. It helps us reach some weird and wonderful places around the world, where we're getting into the top 50 and 100 top lists of market of the top marketing charts. We've had Slovenia and Slovakia, which I feel very excited about. And we've also managed to get in with Russia as well. So really reaching out around the world. And the more reviews we get, and the more recommendations we get, the more people can find out about this podcast and learn more how to drive traffic to their website. So aside from the fact I would love you forever, why don't you help out other business owners around the world as well? All right. Thanks so much for listening all the way to the end. I will see you in next week's episode, where we will be continuing the summer school theme.